Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Pappy's Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. It is. We're here again. We're here again, oh, delivering the pithiest title in podcast land.
It's a BBCC, guys.
We had a ball today, didn't we?
Lovely time.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. We've just finished a lovely morning recording with the brilliant Eleanor Morton, who, if you've not seen her stuff before, she's fantastic. Do follow her online. She's great. She's on TikTok and Instagram and X and all those kind of places as well. Well worth a follow. She's a brilliant video. She's a great stand-up. So yeah, check her out. If you ever see her come into your town, do go and see her and definitely follow her on socials. Before we get started, just like to say...
We've not started.
Before we hear that episode, I should say, we kind of have started. Yeah, we have started. Crucially, this is the podcast, guys.
We're not
doing a rehearsal.
Oh, great.
We should try and work out exactly how not to talk over each other. But okay. I think that's largely down to me. So before we get into the main body of the episode, don't forget, if you would like to come along to the Cheerful Earful Festival, you can see a whole host of wonderful podcasts, including a Beef Brothers Cold Turkey, a festive special of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, starring myself and Clarkie and the two very, very funny people from the Trusty Hogs podcast, which is, of course, Catherine Bohart and Helen Bauer. We're going to be on the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November. We're going to be at the Bedford in Balham. So go to cheerfulearful.co.uk or pappiescomedy.com/live to get your tickets. There'll be a link in the show notes. We're doing their show at 5 o'clock.
To see it.
Yeah, you're excited. You'll be off having a baby, but
finally
you'll be able to watch. Hey, do you know what?
Podcast.
You can watch it. I've just found this out. Yeah. You can watch it on Next Up, man. You can be streaming it. It could be the first thing your new offspring gets to enjoy is some top comedy from the Trusty Hogs and from Two Thirds of Pappies. Why not? Introduce them to your uncle and their uncle and aunties. Exactly, yeah. The only way to go is up from there. But yeah, November the 5th, get yourself along there now. And it's a brilliant, like the whole festival is brilliant. Loads of your favourite podcasts are going to be there. On that day at 1 o'clock, the birthday girls are doing their house party. At 3 o'clock, Nobody Panic are the brilliant Stevie Martin and Tessa Coates. They're doing theirs. I think Nobody Panic and the Birthday Girls are doing a collab as well. Lex Education, our pals Ron and Laura are doing their show. Trusty Hogs, and of course, Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers Cold Turkey, the Christmas special. But we also need your beefs as well. So if you'd like to send your beefs into us, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Your festive beefs is what we're looking for. If you've got a problem with the people you spend Christmas with, then send us a beef today.
And let's be honest, we all have.
We've all got beefs, man.
We've all got beefs. Or if you're not into typing stuff out, then why not send us a voice note on WhatsApp or call this number? It all goes to the right place. It is, of course, 0208-123-3272. You can message us on WhatsApp. You can send us a voice note on WhatsApp. You can call that number and leave a message. All of that works. And our friend Joe has got in touch to say... Hi, inspired by the concept of late night numeronym, am I saying that word right? The late night numeronym adverts, may I suggest 02081 add bra, A-D-D-B-R-A, or 0281 bed bra, BEDBRA or 0208 BBRA. So various bra scenarios there, all worthy of a song. Thanks, Joe. Ah. So those are other ways to remember it. Or if you'd like to hear a song, here's one right now. 0208123 3272, what's your beef?
0208123 3272, what's your beef? Ah, that was a good song.
It was a beautiful song, wasn't it? What a gorgeous song.
Great. Well, let's get into this. Let's get into what I liked you to describe as the body of the.
Tom. What is it?
I liked what you described it as the body of the piece.
Oh, it is the body of the piece. Yeah.
It's the body of the piece.
And just in case this didn't come up in the actual recording, we might mention it a few times. But Eleanor was recording this from a room festooned with a variety of leather bags. There must have been a good 25 leather bags hanging up around her head.
Satchels, so, purses, so, jackets.
Absolutely. It looked like the well from the end of Silence of the Lambs.
It really did. So pop the lotion in the basket and enjoy this episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with Eleanor Morton.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Live from the cupboard.
Yep, this is my recording cupboard.
You've got a lot of bags, I'll say that much.
I do. Sometimes I think I should take them down and so it looks a bit less like a cupboard, but then why lie?
There's a lot of leather going on in the shot, actually. It's a very leathery. It's a very leathery shot.
It is leathery, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
For our vegan listeners,
you guys have got lovely. Are you in a recording shed, Tom? What is it? It looks nice.
That's a really nice way. I am in a shed, and to say it's a recording shed makes it sound so much better.
It looks lovely. Yeah, yeah. You all have very nice recording setups.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All my leather's just that side of the.
Clarky's got a leather iPad, haven't you?
And below the waist. Clarky's entirely leather below the waist. If you stood up, then you'd see the chaps.
If you turned it round and down, it's a dungeon on the other side of it.
He does a very different podcast after ours.
Yeah, he co-hosts a podcast with Rob Halford of Judas Priest. That's his. So, shall we get cracking into it?
We must.
We could talk about leather all day, but we won't.
You'd have to join us on Leather Pod instead.
I didn't realise it was so leather heavy, and now I am thinking, yeah.
We've just got a new sponsor, actually, so we've had to really lean into it.
You know, my brother went to a private school, right, a fee-paying school, and it was it had a sponsorship.
Where's this going? I'm trying to figure out where it's going.
Well, it's leather related. They had sponsorship. They were sort of funded and patronised by the Worshipful Company of Leather Sellers.
Ooh, that's so fun.
Yeah, so it meant that he was never short of a bookmark. I'll tell you that, my brother. He was never short of a bookmark.
Your mum didn't get any free handbags or anything?
No free handbags, no free gimp masks, none of that kind of caper. No, just... I think it's... When it comes to leather, I think the stuff you can give away to every kid in a school, you're going to... If you've got to give away 600 or 700 of something, it's not going to be a pair of shoes, is it?
No.
From the Worshipful Company of Leather Sellers.
It's going to be a bookmark. They're not made of leather.
No. But crucially, the bookmark is a pure leather item. There was nothing else going on that bookmark apart from leather. So, you know, it was a good item to have.
Is it just an offcut?
I think it is, yeah. It's a bit like when you get those super green soups. Have you ever drunk a super green soup? And then you get to the bottom of it and you're like...
It's leather.
This is all leather.
The secret ingredient.
It's just strips of leather at the bottom of this.
We'll never tell. It's one of the secret spices in KFC as well. We'll never tell. There's leather. It's leather, unfortunately.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Those are the superfoods, aren't they? It's like blueberries, acai berries and leather.
And leather, yeah.
Yeah. Not beef. No way. No way. But if you were to eat a suede jacket, you'd live to 150. That's why Bon Jovi looks so well preserved. Mm. It's because those little tassels hanging off his jacket. He's always pulling one off and nibbling on it.
Having a nibble, yeah.
It's also why he looks like he's made of leather as well.
Exactly, it gets you in the end, doesn't it? It gets you in the end. Paul Rudd's very much in his early leather in jacket. It'll catch up with him.
He really is, yeah.
The dream. Well, anyway, Eleanor, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Delighted to have you on board.
Mm. Thank you for having me.
It's a total pleasure. So we obviously know that you live at the moment in a tiny little leather room.
I do, yes.
But beyond that, what kind of a person are you to live with?
I have lived by myself for about 6 years now. So I don't even know what I'm like to live with. I don't think I am very fun. I am very anal and type A, and I will follow people around being like, Are you gonna do that?
Do you find yourself anal living with yourself? Do you have inner monologue that picks yourself
very
up
much.
On things?
Absolutely, very much so.
That is tough. That's tough when you can't stand yourself as a housemate.
No, it's sad. It's sad, but it's a very clean and tidy house. So, you know, there's swings and roundabouts.
Well, quite often, we've been doing this pod for a while now and asking the question about what you like to live with. And I think we've all come to the conclusion that the dream housemate is no housemate and to be living on your own. I mean,
yeah, I got very lucky.
Wait, sorry. Can I say we've all come to this conclusion, have we? I don't think that at all. I love company. I need
the
company.
The dream podcast is just doing it on your own.
I think Tom's
Six
trying to
straight
tell
years, me. Though. You're living the dream. You are living the dream.
Well, I got very lucky, and when I was living in London, I'm back in Edinburgh. When I was living in London, I got very, very lucky with my. Well, I was in a flat share, and it was a nightmare. And the landlord kicked us out, and I really needed somewhere. And my partner at the time, Jos Norris of comedy, he has a friend whose mum. He said, "Oh, my friend Pippa's mum's got a little house in her garden. You can live in that."
Like a little summer house.
It's sort of like a
tree
little
house.
it was a tent, actually. And I only realised that after a few years. But it was kind of like it was a Victorian building, and then it was a little like, I don't know what it would have been in Victorian times, but it was sort of, you know, like a studio flat in her garden.
A granny flat.
Yeah, but for a very cool, youthful, young, cool person.
A very young, cool granny.
Yeah. and obviously, you know, she was a great landlady.
If you're in Edinburgh, could you call it a bothy?
I don't think you could call it. I think a bothy has to be on a hillside, and it has to be cold and grim.
I'm going with bothy.
But I think it would just be a shed. People did think, like, I would try to explain my living situation, and people would be like, "I think does Eleanor live in someone's shed? Have you heard about? I think Eleanor Morton might live in someone's garden, like a
very
gnome
clean
or something.
Shed, but it's a shed."
I got really lucky because I feel like, you know, living flat shares in London, especially, has been a lot, and. I think, and then she moved last year, so I moved back up here. But yeah, I got very lucky, and I just lived by myself. And now I kind of hate people, so I don't know if I have to go back to that. I don't know how I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to ever crawl out of the satchel you now live in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Face the real world. Yeah,
it's like a borrower.
I think it's tricky, isn't it? If you're so used to your own company.
Yeah.
Then, you know, how do you ever bring new people into that?
I don't know.
Bring new individuals in. If someone else were to live with you, because you've lived with people in the past, would they see your sort of tidiness as helpful to the upkeep of the flat, or actually a bit of a burden?
I think they'd probably see it as annoying. I mean, it depends what kind of person they were, but I'm very much like, I just want the bits I use to be nice and clean and tidy. So it's not like I'll be doing other people's work. I'll just be. It's my room, the kitchen, the bathroom, and then I did once try and install a cleaning rotor in a flat. That didn't go well. I think I don't think it's an attractive trait, but I also don't care. So I'm very much leaning into my, I'm aware that it's unbearable to live with, but I've got standards and no one else does. So what can I say?
Well, this is exactly what we need. We need someone with standards to help our listeners. There is a cleaning beef coming up, but it's not the first beef. But I think this is when you're gonna really come into your own, because there's a big cleaning beef that I think you'll respond to later on. But okay, should we start with the beef from Charlotte?
Oh, I'd love to. This is free range, a free range beef that we don't often start free range. Eleanor, for those that don't know, a free range beef is one that happens possibly outside of the flat share situation. It can happen in the real world.
Okay.
So free range beef, Phantom Fish Fryer. From Charlotte, the worst of the Star Wars films. Phantom Fish Fryer Beef from Charlotte via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch via the email. Dear Pappies and prominent guest. Oh, very nice.
then you.
How do you feel about that, Eleanor? How do you feel about being prominent?
I think she was hoping James Acaster would be on.
Well, congratulations. That can go on one of your posters now. Prominent.
Prominent Pappy's guest.
I have a free-range beef, the Phantom Fish Microwaver. I have an office in a shared office space. There are at any given time maybe 5 to 10 other companies here, from single freelancers like myself to those with upwards of 2 employees. That's right. We've a pool of 10 to 25 people to pick from. That's slightly more than an Agatha Christie mystery,
that's
isn't it?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm. That's more people than you'd want to fit on a posh train.
Poirot can't handle this
amount of
people.
He can't do 25. And crucially, the viewer can't handle that either.
No.
In the first 20 minutes, you've introduced 25 characters. If you're introducing more than one character a minute, then we're in trouble. It's going to be a really confusing episode to follow.
You'd have to be working with triplets at some point to try and get up to the rotor as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a K-pop band over there. That's 7 of them. Just count them all together.
They only work together.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a sketch group, a K-pop band,
and a football team.
Yeah. No, that's a Poirot film. I would watch Kenneth Branagh. So there's the pool, 10 to 25 people. Most of the time, we're all pretty respectful of each other, but for the kitchen. Actually, and the corridor. Oh. Now I'm writing this, I can already see this is maybe more of a free-range beef herd. H-E-R-D. So I'm going to bullet point them so that I can get back to my actual job. Ooh. Number one, never putting dishes, cups, cutlery in the dishwasher. Number two, never emptying the dishwasher. Number three, never putting the dishwasher on. Number four, not cleaning spills, sugar, water, coffee, etc. Number five, having loud conversations outside my office, to be clear. This is someone who has their own office but likes to walk, which means I need to have my door shut like a hermit. Now, those are off my chest. I mean, there are plenty more. We've not even tapped into the state of the bathroom. We hit the most offensive. The Phantom Fish Microwaver. This person, who remains nameless because I have yet to find the fishy fuck, cooks their mackerel in the microwave. Mackerel!
Mackerel!
Oh, no.
We're not talking a short blast. We're talking fully cooked. So why haven't I found them? Well, my office is at the other end of the corridor. By the time the fucking awful smell has reached my office, they've disappeared like a phantom. But oh my God, and there's full stops in that. The smell lingers, sometimes for days. In midwinter, I've resorted to having the windows fully open just to be able to actually breathe. I've had to go home in the past. I've tried past
notes. We all have to go home, right?
Well,
if you're sleeping in the office, there's bigger problems going on.
Well, maybe it's because we take this podcast seriously, Matthew. Homebird crossbow clocking off again to do all our admin at home. Fair play.
That's all from me.
Okay,
so, no,
fair play to Lamond. Okay, I've tried passag notes. Please don't cook fish in here. To which someone, the phantasm, brackets, question mark, added, why? Followed by another addition, not me, and I'm guessing not the fishy fuck, because it stinks. Sorry. So it's not just me. Brothers of beef, what can be done with this? Cheers, everyone. Fish fryer, Charlotte. Bracket she hurt.
Charlotte. Right. Firstly,
a beautifully laid out beef, shall we say?
Yes. Gorgeous. We can't argue with that. Eleanor, have you shared a workspace with other people? I know you refuse to share a flat.
I have various different ones over time, and I feel like kitchens are a big issue in shared spaces. I would just quit. What job is worth it?
Absolutely. There's fight or flight here. You've tried fight.
Yeah.
Well, she could take her job elsewhere as well, right? It's her. She's on her own in this office. It's her bit. I think it's her.
This is like a shared office space for sort of freelance or like different types of companies.
She's a single freelancer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to put it on her, but definitely have a look at other options. You know, is this Is it bad that I want mackerel now? Is that weird? Is that a weird response to that?
Are you a fish fryer?
I was thinking the same thing.
I love mackerel. I love a bit of mackerel.
Well, I was assuming it was the smoked mackerel, but maybe it's... I don't know. Is this person cooking mackerel from scratch? Like,
not in a microwave, you couldn't.
She's not.
Surely that's bad.
Is this person smoking a mackerel in the microwave?
Is she complaining, but it turns out she actually works in Arbroath Smoky.
Sorry, I should say one of the businesses I share with is an Arbroath Smoky. I will say this, it is tricky, these shared office spaces. Like living with people's hard, having to add... You're adding the energy of a flat share into your working environment. That's what these places do. And there are some, like, well, let me put it this way, there's a lot of people who live on boats who work in this kind of place. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
What are you saying there, that there's a fresh catch from the canal?
Well, you know.
Oh, not a canal haddock.
It's a canal mackerel.
There's
dirt under the nails of people who are working here. I'll just leave it at that. Do you know what I mean?
Any of you ever lived on a boat?
No, but I
never worked in an office. So. We could be less qualified for this.
I did a lot of work in a place like this, and I think it's very evocative for me of that, basically.
Right.
I can picture it already. There's a lot of people coming into work wearing the same clothes as the day before, kind of thing, because they had an impromptu party after work on the premises.
And didn't invite you.
I was working on the podcast famously. There's other people who were like, they bring their dogs in.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of place.
I love it when people bring their dogs in.
No, but it's the dog's wearing a neckerchief. Do you know what I mean?
The dog smells smoke.
The dog's fresh off the boat. The dog's been for a dip in the canal.
Oh no.
Yeah.
On his way to the office. It's tricky. Is an option here to smash up the microwave? Take the microwave out of the equation.
I did wonder about the
How often is this person eating fish? I mean, is that too much? That feels like a lot of fish.
Your omega-3 levels would be through the roof, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you want to be having oily... Is it three portions of oily fish a week they recommend? That's still quite... I mean, if they're having them during the weekdays, they could still be doing it, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday and absolutely reeking out the office. If it lingers for days, that's pretty much... That's a constant coverage if they're getting their levels.
I was going to say two a week is too many for me. And if mackerel day comes on a Wednesday, then that's the end of the week jiggered, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's it. If it's sticking around.
The fact that the passive-aggressive note, that the reaction to that was a real defiant why, feels that like this person is not going to be reasoned with. Like not like they weren't aware that the mackerel was an issue.
This chap's ballsy. Whoever it is, they don't care. To follow it up with a why, my God.
They're not embarrassed.
It's because they're jizzed to the fucking nuts with omega-3. That's why. you've got to find the person who's walking around the office with omega-3 energy.
Yeah.
The woman who's walking through walls or some shit like that, because this Omega 3 stuff is...
She's got incredible joints.
Yeah.
Listen to everyone squat down in the office. Yeah. And whoever doesn't click is the offender.
You want to do a Cinderella where you're like, I found this shoe and everyone's going to try it on. And when people kneel down to try on the shoe, listen for their joints. Yeah. And the ones with the, or like organize a work sports day, and then you be the person who's judging. You know when people put their toes over the line on the long jump, but really you're having a really good listen for the joints on takeoff.
So yeah. You're looking for a healthy defiant person, someone rude and health as well.
Yeah. Rude health.
Rude health, rude in personality.
Yeah.
Someone who's incredibly limber is what we're looking for. I mean,
another option.
Yeah, go on.
December's coming round.
Oh yeah.
Wait for the fish to smell, and then in your office you've got an impromptu Christmas party ready to go in a box. So the fish comes in, you smell the fish, you come out, you blow a horn, and you're like, everyone, it's Christmas, impromptu office Christmas party. You start handing out booze, you crack loads of mistletoe up around, then you get a kiss in. And the oldest way to find out who's been eating
fish. It's
a real
Mata Hari getting in there, kind of.
Yeah, exactly right. That's it. We're getting under those dirty fingernails.
Intimate espionage, yeah.
How do you kiss, by the way, Tom?
You're snogging around the office, looking for the fishy culprit.
This is why I would have just left.
What, you'd rather leave than just get off with everyone in the office? Come on, man. We've got to solve this case.
I've got to organise a sports day. I've got to do the Christmas party. It's a lot of work.
Okay, time to give out the sports day prizes. And the prize is a little kiss. He's at it again. Yeah. Does this office have a HR department? Just asking. Just in case.
It doesn't sound like it. So you're proposing, Tom, that Charlotte try and kiss everyone in the office.
Yeah.
In the course of a short impromptu Christmas party. And also probably open mouth kiss to get a taste.
I don't know, with mackerel, I imagine.
And you're also saying that these are people who...
within 6 feet.
I think you'll probably be able to work it out in the lunge.
Is that one of the sports
Again,
events?
How are you kissing?
Oh, we're doing a Winter Olympics. We're doing Winter Olympics as well.
I'm thinking, is there not some kind of way of catching them out in the act? Can you rig something around the microwave, like a tripwire? Not a tripwire, that would be dangerous. A mini tripwire for the hand.
Hang on, can we just unpick a mini tripwire for the hand?
Yeah,
please?
I'd like to go back to mini tripwire for the hand.
let's not move away from that.
You put it in front of the microwave, and then the hand goes to the microwave and sets it off. And I guess an alarm may be rigged to the office, your office, Charlotte's office.
But what if someone's just doing a pot noodle? Or...
Well, you know, you're gonna have to take that into account, and you know.
What about a nanny cam?
Yeah, ring doorbell on the microwave.
There you go.
Exactly. Stick a ring doorbell on the button that sets it for 30 seconds.
Well, if you like it, then you should have stuck a ring on it.
In this instance, if you don't like it, you should have stuck a ring on it, because we're trying to catch the mackerel culprit, aren't we? I think this is it. The other thing you could do, right, if you didn't want to go the technology route, if you want to keep it a bit more sort of cost effective, is I appreciate that by the time the smell has reached Charlotte's office, the culprit is long gone, but presumably they've gone back to their office to eat the mackerel, right? They're not in the kitchen anymore, but they're probably taking it back to their office. What you've got to do is you've got to knock on every office, and for some sort of really basic but inoffensive request, like,
I want to kiss you.
I was going to say, I've got a Samsung charger, but yeah, I want to kiss you. Let's call that plan B. Kiss a gram.
It's kiss a clock.
You didn't know about the office kiss a gram? It's every Tuesday.
Kissy, kissy. Maybe this could be the start of a beautiful love story, you know.
Yeah.
Could be, sure. Yeah.
Now serve mackerel at the wedding.
trick someone into kissing you, and then you marry them.
And then you go, oh, your breath stinks. Want to marry me?
It's just like a rom-com where they don't like each other at first because he keeps microwaving fish. It's a classic Richard Curtis scenario.
You've got mackerel.
Love mackerelly.
There you go. Roast itself.
Can we finally throw in a bloodhound into the mix?
Oh, yes.
A fish-trained bloodhound.
Exactly right. A fish-trained bloodhound.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
I think bloodhounds will adapt.
I mean, sorry, Eleanor, you after talking about a mini tripwire for the hands,
yeah.
you can't go, oh, that's the thing, when Tom suggests a bloodhound. Come on.
No, that's fine. So it would have to be a fish hound.
Fish have blood.
They, right? Yeah, no, that's, do they? Yes, they do. They do. Well, no, but you get bloodhounds, and then you get special hunting dogs for, you know, game and things. So is there a hunting dog
right.
for fish?
And you also get sniffer dogs.
What?
For,
I think it's a cat, of... isn't it?
Isn't it a dogfish?
No, you're right. It is a cat. It's much more a cat that you need a cat bloodhound.
Hang on. Bloodhounds don't just smell blood, do they? They smell other things. If you give a bloodhound a
blood
bit of fish
related
and go,
things.
go boy, then they'll go.
What have you given it?
Some fish.
Yeah.
You got going straight into the sea.
I've drowned four bloodhounds this week.
Straight into the canal next door.
It's worth it to know what happened.
I think, Tom, you're right. I think a sniffer dog, you can train them to sniff out basically anything, right? Anything with even the vaguest of scents. They could and they could smell it from miles away, can't they? Because a sniffer dog's got like a range of like 2 kilometers. They can start 2 kilometers away and find.
You're thinking of sharks.
A sniffer shark. Yeah.
I mean, a shark could probably do a good job.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Well, you famously can't smell underwater. So is that? Is that the option?
You definitely shouldn't try.
Do we submerge this office?
I think you can smell underwater. Office. I think just don't inhale a big gulp of air when you're underwater.
I don't know. Can you smell?
You can't smell underwater.
I think fish can smell it, but we can't. Because don't sharks come, like, if you're bleeding, they can smell the blood, isn't that?
Yeah, isn't that point? Bloodhounds of the sea, we've all said it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can smell underwater. What are you saying? Because like, for example, if you're wearing a snorkel, right?
Oh, aye.
You can smell that, and you're underwater.
It's yeah,
not,
but you there's
you're
no water
in, water,
in it.
Though, are
yeah,
you?
Your nose.
That's
is...
like saying if you're in a submarine and someone yeah. farts, can you smell
Does
it?
Does anyone hear it?
It's the old thought experiment.
You're telling
it?
Me submarines don't go underwater? They're called submarines. Sub as in under and marine as in water.
Yeah, but
sorry,
I farted
mate.
Before it's gone under the water. I've got to fight it straight away. I'm pretty nervous.
Yeah, they're scary submarines. But what about, right, say for, all right, how about this? If I put my nose in this cup of coffee, would I be able to smell the coffee? I think I would.
I think, isn't part of smelling breathing in?
All right, if I put my entire face in this cup, wouldn't I be able to smell it?
If you're submerged in the coffee, I think...
I think if you're underwater in a swimming pool,
yeah,
and I pour a cup of coffee in, I don't think you're smelling coffee. And that's the test.
No, you're being kicked out of the leisure centre. But I'm not smelling coffee. Sure, fair enough. I guess that's probably true. That's probably true.
Hang on, if you can't smell it underwater, submerge the office, the problem goes away.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to get at. We Christopher Nolan this shit.
Here we go. flood the office. Give everybody snorkels. Well, actually, no, not snorkels, because you're smelling those. Give no one snorkels.
Who established that?
And then, you know what? Let the mackerel roam free.
Nailed it.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Parcel beef from Jenna. Hello, dear podcasters and esteemed guest. Thank you. I have a beef that is more neighbour related than flatmate. I live alone and currently work from home, so I'm no stranger to our local postman. Quite often, I usually end up taking parcels for my fellow neighbours, as personally, I would like people to do the same for me. My first beef is with the postman, as it has now reached the point where he rings my doorbell to deliver parcels even when I have no post. The other day, I took parcels for 3 separate apartments and 0 parcels for myself, meaning I later have to go around and deliver the parcels myself.
She's become a postman.
My second beef was revealed to me by said postman when he divulged 2 days ago, when I missed a parcel delivery, that he asked a couple of neighbours if they would accept my parcel, to which they said no.
No!
Oh!
Wow.
No way!
Am I being unreasonable for resenting them for this?
No!
Should I refuse their parcels? Although I feel like I would also be making the postie's job harder. Should I move? Please help, Pappies. I've created a pseudonym in the instance that one of my neighbours listens to this podcast. Bye, Jenna Tolls.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenna Tolls. Yes.
Oh, okay. Wait, I just got it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good, Jenna Tolls.
Good stuff.
Classy.
It's a tricky one, this, isn't it? Because I think the shocking moment is the fact that I didn't realise you could say no. I don't think anybody did. I mean, I wouldn't, but I just assumed if someone says, do you mind taking this in? Of course you're going to say, you're going to say yes.
Wouldn't inconvenience you.
No, I actually don't even, you know, the arrangement I've got with my neighbours is that if I take in their parcel or they take in my parcel, we go and pick it up from them rather than deliver it to them. That's, so Jenna, you don't need to be, I mean, you seem like an incredible person in that you're going above and beyond of delivering the parcels after they've been dropped off to you and accepting the parcels in the first place when your neighbours are not doing any of that. However, it's the big question. If you find out that people are behaving badly, do you lower yourself to their level?
To their level.
Do you then
they
decide,
go
actually,
low, yeah, we go high.
You've got to go high. So what you've got to start doing is you've got to start buying them presents.
Oh, okay.
So they've got even more. Yeah. So you just get presents, even, you know, random presents delivered to your door that then get delivered to them. You've got to go from postman to Father Christmas. And all I'm saying is hang a little bit of mistletoe above the door as they open it up. Get off with them. See what they've had for dinner.
What have they had for dinner?
And all the presents are boxes of mackerel.
Yeah, all of your beef solutions, guys, do seem to involve making out with people. I don't know if that.
Is that unusual? So we've been doing this so long now, we haven't really noticed.
I really I'm impressed and shocked that this person, you know, obviously it's very nice that they are concerned about the postie's workload, but the postman is being paid to do this, is their job, and I like that they're like, oh, I don't want to give them more work, so I'll do it for free. that's maybe where altruism falls down, you know. That's actually the postman probably didn't mind doing his job.
Give me a bag, I'll finish you round.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Take a price, Clarky. A bag. I don't think the postman can get involved in that sort of thing. I don't know about this one.
Oh, hello.
It's It's pretty stinky, isn't it? What's going on here? Yeah.
Stinkier than the first, weirdly.
These people need to... They need to know they're out of order. How can we get that message across, basically?
Yeah.
We have to break the status quo. We can't reward them for their shitty neighbourness.
And what are they doing that they're never in and they're constantly ordering parcels of things?
I mean, they've got proper jobs, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I always forget about people with proper jobs, yeah. Okay.
People with real jobs that require you to leave the house. Yeah, they're not podcasters.
Yeah.
I've got a good idea. You collect all the parcels over the course of a week, and then on the Saturday morning, you open your front door, but like you put a trestle table out, and you know those perfume sellers, the dodgy perfume sellers at the market, or they used to be on Oxford Street.
Yeah.
You kind of Jason Statham it from the start of Lock, Stock, and you kind of go, okay, here we go. You live on this street. Well, this is pretty neat. Someone's got this here. Someone's ordered a gnome. Someone needs to put it in their home. Who ordered it? Is it seven? Is it five? And everyone comes out, and then you're kind of auctioning and giving back. And I don't really know what it would achieve, but it feels like it'd be fun.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. You'd
have fun.
It greatly.
The only thing I was going to say that would improve it ever so slightly is as you're handing over the present, you give them a little smooch.
Oh, of course. That goes without saying.
That goes without saying. Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Move your hips, purse your lips. Here you come.
Yum, yum, yum.
This is the opposite of a friend of mine had an issue in her flat where someone had been nicking other people's stuff.
And
one of the flats downstairs had been... stealing people's parcels and stuff, and she only knew it was happening because her stuff would come back obviously already opened by this person, but because the stuff she was ordering obviously didn't interest them, it would be like the history of feminism, and it would just come back untouched. They were really hoping for an Xbox or an iPhone,
whereas all their patriarchy books.
Yeah.
Had a mate who fell asleep on the night bus, and when he woke up, he felt his pockets and his phone was gone. Oh. And then he felt his top pocket and it was there. And he knows he never keeps his phone in his top pocket because it's a mad place to keep it. So someone had gone through his pockets, took out the phone, gone, no thanks. Nokia 3310, that's going in the top pocket. And given it back to him. So
amazing.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do. You've just got to order stuff that nobody wants.
Yeah.
I think that a little bit about my car... You know, my car is so old and knackered and decrepit, and actually, like it'll be more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah.
To you know, if you nicked my car, and I quite like that. I think it's a good
Protection.
It's protection,
insurance.
Isn't it? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You know, I think I find that more impressive than if someone's driving a Bugatti. You know, if someone's driving a real clapped out old banger, I go, yeah. You've cracked it.
Respect.
You've cracked life, mate. Respect.
I think I've got a solution for this.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's one of those draw a line in it and move on. We've done it.
Yeah.
Got go on.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Love
you
it.
Change your delivery name to All My Neighbours Are Cunts. Right? And so then the postman has to go, I've got a parcel here for All My Neighbours Are Cunts.
They'll say no. They never say the name of the person. They say I've got a parcel here for number 17.
Yeah, but
you change your name,
you
the number
the name of...
of
your house to All My Neighbours.
Yeah, so it's like my house used to be called Dun Roman. Now it's called All My Neighbours Are Cunts. Yeah. By the way, that would be if you had that done in like you know they you could often get like a kind of ceramic plate.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was drilled
yeah.
to the side of your house,
yeah.
like exactly, with a little yeah. watercolour painting on it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Go down the local pottery painting place. Write All My Neighbours Are Cunts. Chisel off the number off your door and rename the house.
Yeah, and then you change your delivery address to it, and then the postman's going around calling all your neighbours cunts on your behalf.
Perfect.
Beef closed.
Job done, beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved!
Okay, this is a shower beef from Laurie via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. A great way of getting in touch with us if you'd like to send us a beef, just like Laurie's done. Dear Pappies, LTLFTW.
Whoa.
Long time listener, first time writer. I think that's what they're going for
great.
There.
Great.
I am a 37-year-old man-child who lives with a wife, a child, an unborn child who lives in my wife, and my beautiful cat who is my best friend and the only one to whom I can confess all my dark secrets and fantasies.
Well, I already hate him.
Don't say it, Eleanor.
Two very different responses there, because I was going to thank him for letting us into the inner sanctum that currently only contains a cat, but Eleanor was in no way swayed by that opening paragraph.
No, thank you. Sorry, go on.
Long time listener, long time. Only kidding, Laurie. The jury is still out. I have to first point out that we're generally a happy household, though I am a recovering slob, and this can cause some consternation. Mm. My wife is the breadwinner in the house, whilst also doing more than her fair share of the housework. Eleanor, dear. Is any of this turning him round in your mind?
I'm going to have to take a break. My friend.
Eleanor's crawled inside one of her big leather bags. She's papoosed herself. My wife is the breadwinner in the house, while also doing more than her fair share of the housework, although not by much. I don't know what we're supposed to be proving there.
Not helping.
I struggle to see mess, so I have a tendency to ignore it. Oh, I've heard about this. What? I've heard about this before. It's called weaponized incompetence, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's fascinating, because as soon as you see it, like the other day, it was genuinely meant to be a compliment. I was complimenting my wife on how well she tidied the playroom. But I, as I was saying it, I was kind of going, oh, am I a character in a Vulgar Drawings cartoon? You know, like I could just see myself stood there in my boxer shorts with a speech bubble in my head, looking, you know, cross-eyed, going, oh, you told me that so well, I can't do it as well as you. Like that kind of thing. And I feel like this is what we've got here with Laurie. There's an element here of weaponized incompetence, isn't it? Of going, I just don't see mess. You see it. I don't see it. A fascinating character. However, I'm always trying to improve myself on the instruction of my wife, who, in fairness, is a bit much when it comes to cleanliness. Well, he gives with one hand, he takes away with the other there, doesn't he? I'm trying to improve myself on the on the tutelage of my brilliant wife, who, by the way, is intense. Now to the beef. I'm just going to say, whatever the beef is, I think we're going to side with the wife, Laurie. Now to the beef. We have a glass shower cubicle in our house. From the minute it was installed, my wife decided that the watermarks caused by the droplets were an issue, so we invested in a squeegee so it could be dealt with. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. While I complained about the unnecessary nature of this, of course you did, Laurie, I went along with it to maintain harmony in the house.
I like how he thinks he's taking the high ground.
No. Yeah, he's a good guy.
I like how he thinks there's harmony in his house. Honestly. I'd hate to see your record collection if that's the idea of harmony. We both hate this chore. Fair enough, no one really likes chores. When we had our first child, we agreed that I would take over childcare duties when my wife went back to work. Modern and progressive, I know. Not during maternity leave, I noticed, but fair enough. This has meant that occasionally we shower at vastly different times. Sometimes I shower much later. Is that because you're in bed all day? Not working. I noticed that her squeegee efforts dipped at these times. So mine also did. However, this was picked up by my wife with disapproving tones. I suggested this was because she had also slacked. I'm sure that went down well. I suggested this was because she'd also slacked, which she replied was due to her assuming I was about to get in right after her. I suggested, passive-aggressively, that no matter what the assumption is, we should just perform the chore in order to eliminate confusion and watermarks, to which she agreed. A few months passed of this entente cordiale, but now I have noticed that her effort has once again begun to slacken. I don't want to bring this up again, as I feel it might become antagonistic, particularly as she is with child. However...
Oh, my God, mate.
This is unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
This might be my favourite message we've ever received. And not for the right reasons, sorry. However, I can't help but feel slightly aggrieved, as if I'm being tested somehow. And the issue of watermarks is not such a big deal after all, which it definitely isn't. I'm not hard done by at all, but I do feel like I am being gaslit. And that if the shower thing isn't such a big deal, then maybe the whole thing around chores isn't really a big deal either. And it's all just a big performance. What do you think, Laurie? Well, Laurie, I think we could... I think you could read the last question back to yourself.
Beef closed?
Beef closed, yeah. it's rare, you know. It's rare. It's like a self-ironing shirt. This The message sorted itself out as it was being read out by another human being.
Is this what it feels like to be a therapist? Well, that's the end of the session. I think we've made some ground.
Eleanor, I mean, any further thoughts? You didn't warm to Laurie first sentence in.
No,
you got good instincts.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought, am I going to regret this? But no, I didn't regret it at all. In fact, very vindicated. I'm confused as to why the watermarks are such a big deal to someone who can't see mess. I understand that he feels tested by his wife, but equally. It feels like he's dedicating a lot of time to that, but also I don't know. Maybe you guys disagree. I know some of you have children. All of you have children. Some of you have. Hate the phrase "lives inside my wife," which is how he termed his unborn child. I don't like that.
Do you know what? That's on a par for me, and I have beefed about this before. But when a comedian's gigging somewhere else and they put on social media, "Hull, I am in you."
Yes.
No, thank
yes.
you.
I am no, inside you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
I mean,
I know that technically that is where the baby lives, but the picture it painted for me was not one I enjoyed. So, yeah. Deeply uncomfortable with that.
What I want to know is, if this is what he's selling to us, what the fuck is he saying to the cat?
I think the cat might be sick of this. Sick of this, yeah. Shit.
The cat, you know, like I've got one of those cats. It's got like a permanently haunted expression. And that's kind of what I'm imagining their cat looks like. Just the cat comes home and looks at the wife and goes, "Take me to work with you. Come on." I've heard there's mackerel there.
Oh no!
Well, you're literally in this situation at the moment, Tom, because you have a wife who's about to pop. You have a child. How do you respond to Laurie's predicament?
You've just got to suck it up and do the work, buddy.
Yeah. You've already said that your wife is doing slightly more than you, and she's pregnant. So she's the main breadwinner. She's pregnant and she's doing slightly more housework than you.
Put it this way, in the time it took for you to write this email, you could have cleaned the shower.
It would have taken 5 seconds.
It's not a, you know, just do the work, mate. Do the work.
Done.
Yeah. But crucially, listeners, don't stop sending us in beefs because we need those for the podcast. So yeah. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Isn't there something like, it's something like when you're pregnant, the extra energy of having, of carrying a child is the equivalent of running a half marathon every 2 days or something like that.
I could believe
it's like
that, yeah.
That's what's going on.
Imagine stopping halfway through your half marathon to squeegee a window.
Yeah. Not even Paula Radcliffe did that. So, I mean, like that's what you've got to factor in is there's unseen work going on.
Yeah.
There's heft going on. Yeah.
On top
you
of the other two
do,
big things.
Do a half marathon's worth of chores to come to that.
Yeah.
You plum.
But you know what? Let's accentuate the positive that he does say at some point during this that he wants to improve himself, doesn't he? At some point, he did say, I need to improve myself. I want to improve myself. We are giving you before you. You're right, Eleanor.
I just dropped my microphone.
Is there an earthquake in Edinburgh?
I was moving my feet, and there's a suitcase next to my feet. Okay, we're all
leather.
Of course there is. You're in the luggage room.
Leather,
of
course. It's not actually. I wish it was.
Leather suitcase. Sorry, my leather goods. I've just been inundated by leather goods. And like, if this podcast finishes with just loads of like leather, are you in a shop?
It's very rare that a guest has sponsorship, free? Isn't it? Today's appearance by Eleanor Morton is brought to you by World of Leather.
Do you actually live in Edinburgh Airport? Are you in terminal? Are you in duty free?
Well, I'm hoping if this goes well, I can get you guys to buy some stuff at a discount, obviously.
Lovely keyrings.
Yeah, you've got a leather squeegee I could borrow.
It's chamois leather. I mean, yeah, I think we can move on.
Laurie has reached out. He wants to improve himself. Laurie, improve yourself by doing, I would say, all of the housework and letting your wife put her feet up and make sure she's hydrated and look after her, because you are looking after not only the person that you love, but you're also looking after your new kid. So, you know, suck it up, mate. Beef solved.
Squeegee it up.
Squeegee it up, brother.
From the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Eleanor, thank you so much for doing the podcast. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people see your brilliant work?
You can see me on all the socials, Instagram, TikTok, and whatever the hell Twitter is now. And what am I doing? I should have prepared this better. Just Google me and I'll come up, really. I can't think of anything. It's too early in the morning.
Just Google you and it'll come up. Exactly.
I'm around.
Definitely worth a follow on at least one of the socials, because your videos are always brilliant.
The comedian who is prominent on Google, Eleanor Morton.
I paid for ads, so if you Google Eleanor Morton, I'm the first Eleanor Morton that comes up, because I paid for it. Yeah.
Google Eleanor Morton leather and you'll get some bargains and some comedy. A bit of laughs, a lot of goods. Cheers, buddy.
Oh, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's really fun.
Always. 1, 2, 3.
Well, there it is. What a lovely episode that was. And if you enjoy our episodes, then why don't you think about hopping on to our Patreon?
Yes, indeed. Patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare. Get yourself there today. It will also give you discounted tickets to our live shows, including the show on November the 5th for the Cheerful Earful Festival. You get a discounted ticket there. But the main reason to join the Patreon is all the bonus episodes. And if you're umming and ahhing about it, if you're thinking maybe I'd like to, I'm not really sure, have a 7-day trial. Have a 7-day trial today. Go to patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare. You can have a 7-day trial at any of the tiers. Yeah. And, you know, you can see the video tier, which is at $10. You can see the audio tier at $5. You can, any of those tiers, you can have a trial and see what you think of it. For 7 days, if you like it, you can stick around. If not, no harm, no foul. Doesn't cost you any money at all. You can cancel and off you go on your merry way. But we'd love you to stick around because we think it really is well worth the money.
Absolutely. Every Thursday, you'll get to listen to our bonus podcast, A Flat Share Pop Round. And that is a whole world within itself. And there's a massive community on Patreon. Everyone pings around emails and gets in touch. And it's really lots of fun. So if you do want to take the next step in being a listener, then get on to Patreon now.
And crucially, it supports this podcast as well.
It does.
It allows us to carry on doing this podcast. Yes.
Right. Tom. Well, otherwise, have a grand week, isn't it, really?
Yeah, have a grand week, guys.
Yeah. And that goes to you guys as well.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
Okay. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.